Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your
The Dream Diva Force be with you.
Yes, trust your feelings, Luke, by day, and your dreams by night, Teresa. So I know you're a movie buff, Teresa, but Star Wars to open our show? Really?
Yes, really, Kelly. As like every dream, there is method in the madness, because I don't think the enduring appeal of Star Wars is the special effects, the funny robots, or even the lightsabers, although obviously we do love a lightsaber. But beneath all that is this extraordinary idea of the Force.
And the farce. So, of course, the Force is the power within all of us that's running through everyone and everything. And this is what we're talking about today, learning how to master the Force. So there is a healing balance between the light side, the dark side of the Force, and this is our true power. And that's what we're focusing on today, right?
The light and the dark side is a bit like the two of us battling for dream diva dominance on this show, Kelly. And it's such a wonderful metaphor for what we're exploring today.
It is so true. And I'm the light and you're the darkness.
Rewind that.
Inner divinity, that's what we're talking about. The possibility that healing, wisdom, guidance, and transformation aren't somewhere outside of us. Hello, sometimes the most powerful source, and I would say often, and it is, it's just true that it's all within us. And that's one of the reasons we're so fascinated by dreams, because at night, when we close our eyes, we enter a world that comes from something much deeper within us.
Exactly. It's created by us, for us, and it's all about us, according to Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung, who was the visionary. Carl Jung, who was the visionary who really put dream therapy and the inside out healing power of night vision on the map. And there's one particular dream of Jung's that feels absolutely perfect for today's inside out inner divinity theme. Kelly, dream diva, and Jung, love child, would you set the multi-story house dream scene for us now, please?
I sure would. And what Teresa's referring to is sometimes in my bio, I say I'm the love grandchild of Carl Jung and Lucille Ball. But anyway, so Carl Jung, he dreamed he was in a house. This is one of his most famous dreams. And in the house, it's got two stories, and he didn't know, but this was his own house. And this was a house that he would come back to regularly. So upstairs, everything was elegant, beautiful, gorgeous, gorgeously furnished. And then he discovered this staircase leading downstairs. And the rooms, as he got down, became older and funkier. And eventually he reached a stone cellar. Beneath it, a hidden cave containing ancient books and forgotten treasures. I think there were even some bones in there. He had a feeling that he'd reached something unimaginably ancient and old.
Well, Kelly, after your recent birthday celebrations last
Oh,
weekend,
nice segue. Thank you, Teresa.
888 Lionsgate portal dream baby, everyone. I think this dream has arrived with impeccable timing on this show. Although I prefer to interpret unimaginably old or ancient as magnificently wise.
Thank you, Teresa. I love that. I'll put that on your birthday card next year, my friend. All right. Congratulations, Teresa. You are now magnificently wise. Definitely magnificently
Dream
wise.
Diva point to you for embracing my infinite wisdom, and one to me for positive reframing.
We're always keeping tabs on this show, who's going to win, so we'll see. Anyway, very convenient, Teresa. You're awarding yourself points again. We'll let the audience do that.
Well,
At
of
some point, we've got to
course,
make that official.
a true dream diva recognizes and celebrates and is not ashamed of their own brilliance. But joking aside, Kelly,
Okay.
Young realized something life-changing after that dream. The house wasn't really a house. It was a symbol of himself, his
Yeah.
own psyche. So if you have a dream about a house or your childhood home or any home, this is the decoding direction you need to head in.
Right, because in our dreams, we all live in a house and we can never completely see all the rooms. I love that saying, in my father's house, there are many mansions, and most of us, we've only dwelled in maybe one room. So let's see, upstairs represents the conscious part of us, maybe even the angelic part of us, and maybe even those thoughts, our personality, our plans, the part of us that we can see, the part of us that we know best. But then the dreams downstairs, the downstairs part of the house, this is the part that we don't always visit. The memories we've locked away, maybe some of those nice, tidy traumas that we've left with a skull and crossbones that we thought, oh, we don't need to deal with those. These are some parts of us that we've forgotten. And, but just like Carl Jung, eventually we have to reach this ancient cave. Ooh, and Joseph Campbell said it's the treasure we seek is in that cave we most fear to enter. I'm saying it backwards, but it's the same idea. So something is deeper within us, something that feels older than our individual life. That's what's down there.
Yeah, that dream house, of course, helped inspire Jung's idea about the collective unconscious, that deeper
Right.
layer of the psyche filled with universal patterns, symbols, and archetypes. Which brings us right back to the idea of inner divinity, Kelly, because what if our dreams are always connecting us with a deeper intelligence within us, not necessarily giving us answers in words, but speaking through symbols and images and encouraging us to ask better questions?
Oh, I like that. Because dreams don't send us a memo saying, "Dear dreamer, here's your subconscious lesson for today." Now, although that would be really helpful, every once in a while, I think we do get text messages. I get billboards sometimes that do spell it out because I'm a little thick. Sometimes my dreaming self is like, we can't send her a symbol today. That would be so nice. Bullet points and a cup of coffee would be really helpful, dreams.
Yeah, a dream diva essential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in dreams speak in symbols. So, like a staircase, a locked room, a key, a garden, a journey, a mysterious stranger.
Or if you're particularly lucky, a talking dog.
Oh, do you have those? I bet you do. If a talking dog appears, I will definitely be listening. My dogs talk to me in my dreams, actually.
Mine too. Absolutely. But here's the important thing. There isn't a universal dream dictionary where a cat, a house, or a staircase, or a talking dog mean exactly the same thing to everyone. The real question is, what does it mean to you, the dreamer?
Correct.
That's the beauty of Jungian dream work and why we are his biggest fans. Your dream belongs to you and only you. We can explore the collective or archetypal symbolism common to us all, but we also have to consider your own, so you have to consider your own associations, your personal associations, your life, and most importantly, how you felt in the dream. And that brings us to something I really want everyone listening to remember about house dreams. If you dream about a house tonight and wake up with that on your mind, don't just ask, what does a house mean? Ask, what's inside the house? Which room were you in? Were you upstairs, downstairs? Is there a room in there you've never seen before? Is something hidden? Is there a locked door? Are you trying to get in or trying to get out? How do you feel while you're in that house? Because perhaps the house is your inner world. And perhaps what matters most isn't the house itself, it's what you discover about yourself when you're spending time in it.
It's so good because Teresa, what you said is you and I have both written dream dictionaries, but we both say, go to yourself to interpret this. This is our, we're offering suggestions. And so you have to ask yourself questions about what this dream means to you. So, like a frightening room doesn't necessarily mean something frightening literally is happening to you. It might simply be something that you've denied, and now you're ready to uncork that repressed energy, and it's a sign of your strength. So, and a beautiful room also that you didn't know existed represents a part of yourself that you have yet to discover. And there's so many. There's mansions of those. Whatever part of ourselves we think we know right now, it's just one room or a couple of rooms in the mansion. So we've got forgotten treasures, wisdom, and we've got so much hidden between those rooms and in those doors. Oh my goodness. They're all asking us to look within and become curious about ourselves, to listen, to remember, and to discover what is already within us. Wake up.
Every night you become an explorer. You close your eyes, and somewhere deep inside you, another door opens. And who knows where your dreaming mind might take you tonight after listening to this spectacular conversation, somewhere unexpected, somewhere ancient, somewhere wise, somewhere that reminds you there is always more to discover deep within you.
My heaven, maximum dream diva points for that, Teresa. Okay, I'm giving that to you. Although I don't want everyone to go to sleep and dream just yet, because we are so delighted to welcome back a very special friend of the show into our dream mansion, into our dream show. Her name is Suzanne Giesemann. And Suzanne has become a very cherished part of the Dream Diva family. I think we might even call her one of our Dream Divas. I don't know if she wants
Oh my
that dubious
gosh, I don't know if
title.
I'm ready for that. That requires dancing and insulting each other. So
The world is not ready for that.
when Suzanne joins us,
we seem to find ourselves opening yet another door into consciousness, connection, and the mysteriousness of what lies beyond our ordinary perception. And I'm already covered in gooseies having her here. So Suzanne is an evidential medium, spiritual teacher, and best-selling author whose extraordinary journey has taken her from a distinguished career as a U.S. Navy commander, including serving as aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, into a life devoted to exploring consciousness, connection, and the possibility that love continues beyond physical life.
And your spiritual father, Jung, swoops in again here, Kelly, to make
He
connections
always
for us with
swoops.
this stunning quote of his. And I quote, "What happens after death is so unspeakably glorious that our imagination and our feelings do not suffice to form even an approximate conception of it."
Oh.
Suzanne, I'm so happy to see you again. You do light us all up. But your own journey from the very structured, evidence-based world of the military into mediumship and empowering others to discover their own inner divinity is so compelling. Was there a particular moment in time or experience where you realized this wasn't something you could simply set aside anymore, that you were actually being called to explore it in the global way that you're doing now?
Oh, it was the moment when I was put on the spot by a medium named Janet Nohavik. I had been asked to write her biography. So I sat in the back of her classroom to study how she teaches, what she teaches. And she pulled me to the front of the room and she said, "You can do this too. Who do you sense?" Well, the Navy officer in me wasn't going to say, "I can't do this." So, can-do attitude. I went to the front of the room wishing a hole would open up in the floor so I could disappear into it. But instead, I closed my eyes and I brought through evidence about a father of a woman in the class, including his nickname, Twinkle Toes. It was just in awareness. And that was this moment where I said, "Oh my gosh, you mean I really can do this too? I could provide healing to people like mediums do to show them that love never dies." And I was all in from that moment on.
Oh, Suzanne, your story is so powerful. And it makes me think about that we all have these gifts within
We
us,
do.
but most of us don't awaken to them. I mean, sometimes it's trauma that opens us, or heartache or pain. So a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. You didn't waste your crisis. So basically, do you believe we all have an innate ability to connect
with someone, something beyond our daily lives and
Oh,
beyond
I
our
know we do.
consciousness.
I know we do, but because there's a misconception that you have to be born with this ability. Well, we are born with it, but it's tempered down by these filters of the nervous system. But I've learned that there's a way to train yourself to bypass the filters, to open them, however you want to put it. But these are frequencies of information, of consciousness that are here right now in our environment. And we simply need to learn how to fine-tune this antenna called the body. Oh, and I'm going to go right back to the dreaming theme, of course, with this show. That's a very accessible way, isn't it, for people to connect to their inner divinity. Absolutely. And it can be another doorway also to the afterlife in some cases, because when you're dreaming, your conscious rational mind isn't quite running the show in the same way, is it? We're communicating to ourselves through images, feelings, and symbols and experiences that can feel so real. Do you, Suzanne, see a connection between dreams and mediumship or spiritual communication? And can dreams sometimes be a way of receiving guidance or even experiencing a connection with someone we love who has passed over? Absolutely. That's why I recommend people like you do sleep with a pad of paper by your bed and write down what happens. I'm awakened often because those in spirit tell us that they can see when our energy field, our aura, is perfectly tuned for us to sense them. And so they'll insert themselves into our dreams at just the right time, knowing we will become aware of them. Those visits have a solidity to them that's different than your regular dreams, and you just never forget them because they're solid and real.
For anybody who hasn't yet seen Wolf's message, they need to see it because you get a real sense of what the work is that you do, Suzanne. So I know a lot of people who are listening to this show right now have probably lost somebody, or they're experiencing some form of loss. If they really are desperate for a sign, because some people say, "Oh my gosh, why aren't they coming to me in a dream? Why aren't I getting any connection from them?" What can you offer them? What kind of
Well,
sign
Wolf's
or
message
what
is
can
at
they do?
wolfsmessage.com, how you can see it. But you just gave the key right there, Kelly. It's the desperation that blocks the awareness. It causes constriction in your energy field. When you can just set that aside, faith is a good start, and then that leads to knowing. So just relax and say, I'm going to trust that you're here. I'm going to practice relaxing and I'll be patient, but do show up. Instead of please, please, I have to sense you. There's a whole different feel in those two types of energy. Thank you, That's Suzanne.
so
Both
true.
Kelly and I are fire signs, so slowing down and being patient.
It's so easy for us. We do it all the time.
It's
We're
not.
so mellow.
We
We
are.
do
We
it
are.
all
You can tell how
the
chilled out we are. No, absolutely. Thank you from our heart,
Johan's
Suzanne.
cracking up.
Well, he's a water sign. He's a Scorpio. So, it's interesting balance here, isn't it? Suzanne, what sign are you? Totally I taking off just had a topic. birthday August 1st, so Leo. Another Hello, Leo.
Leo.
Hi. And we have Phil is a Leo as well, our guest presenter here.
August 1st, too. Oh my gosh.
No! We
That's
have
great.
birthday babies here. Oh my
That's
goodness.
true.
Al, what is your birthday? Is she around?
I'm 26th of September, so Libra.
Libra. Oh my goodness. Oh,
Libra. Oh,
yeah,
I love my Libra. I'm a
balance.
Libra rising.
And
Okay.
Dr.
Meredith.
Amy Robbins, what's your sign? I just want to see
What's your
the
sign?
sign.
I'm a Gemini.
Another air.
Ooh.
I love
Okay,
it that
that
we're lacking
tracks.
earth, grounding.
Earth,
With
Schmarth.
steam.
Oh no, we
Thank
love
you.
that
Because that
enough.
brings us beautifully back to the heart of what we're exploring today. The theme is inner divinity, about becoming self-aware enough to recognize the connection, wisdom, and love that may already be within us. We can't wait to dive deeper with you more, Suzanne. But first, we've got to take a short break. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, hold that dream.
See you on the other side.
Oh, Kelly, I have to admit, with medium Suzanne joining us today, that line has never felt more appropriate. Your dream diva points are awarded.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers! We're back! I was sleeping, but I'm awake. Okay, we're so delighted to be joined now by our wonderful guest presenter, Phil Webster. Phil is an actor, presenter, author, and many of our listeners will know him not only for his warmth and curiosity on our show, but also for his deeply personal writing about the afterlife and visions following the passing of his beloved mother, who is also, I would say, a dream diva on the other side who's joining us, if I may be so bold. I hope that's okay.
Thank you.
Yes, because we didn't know that they, Suzanne and Phil, shared the same birthday when we decided.
Yes, isn't that so interesting?
I love this connection.
I love it. So, Phil, because of your experience and the journey that you've written about, and you've got a brand new book that just came out, I know you have a question for Suzanne about the afterlife and all that connects us.
I've got a ton of questions, but I'll listen. We'll get one at least.
Just one.
On a personal note, Suzanne, your work was some of the first things that I came across after I lost my mum, and I stepped into mediumship. So thank you for that. Thank you for having that material there. As Kelly mentioned, my experience was quite interesting. Before my mum passed away, the night before she passed away, I saw somebody on a Zoom time call with her. So there was a man there, and he just kind of appeared, and I was taken aback, and I'll keep it brief. But anyway, I came to the conclusion that there was actually no one physically with her. She didn't know what I was talking about. She passed away the next day. And then as the months went on, that really kind of played with me, played on my mind, and eventually dove into learning about mediumship. So, for someone who may have lost a loved one and they're trying to connect with them, one of the first things that I was learning about was trying to differentiate between knowing that you're getting a message from somewhere else or mistaking that for your own ego or your ideas of what you might want to hear. How does somebody tell the difference?
That's the craziest lead into the fact that just today there's a brand new HemiSync recording in my mediumship series called Trusting the Connection.
All right.
And it's designed to help you in a whole brain state, which is what the binaural beats and HemiSync do, bringing the left and right hemispheres together, to discern and feel and experience the difference between thinking and analyzing and knowing. And it's like Kelly was talking about this house. It's like ride the elevator shaft out of your head down into the gut. Just rest there in what we call the hara. And this trust in the connection meditation helps you just experience what it feels like to rest your awareness in the belly and simply know, yes, this is not coming from my head. This is something from spirit. I can trust this. It's a very subtle distinction, but you get to practice that over and over, and that becomes a knowing.
Mm-hmm. One of the first things as a novice here I found was just going with the first thing that came to me, and that seemed to echo with truth rather than overthinking it and then other things getting involved.
Because it doesn't give your brain a chance to spool up and start picking that apart and saying, oh, I just made that up.
Yeah. Just another quick question, more about your process. So as you've evolved and as you've lived like a human experience and then evolved as a medium, has your connection with your guide, Sanaya, is that pronouncing
Sanaya,
it right?
Yes.
Has that intelligence kind of expanded to match where you are in life?
It's a constant cooperation and moving forward together. And then the more that I practice and connect with them daily, the more clearly I hear them. So just a fun, another fun point, just this week, we released a new part of our Awakened Way app that's free, where Sanaya has daily messages there for everybody. But we have now a gratitude journal to help everybody else lift their consciousness. It's really fun to play with and to keep you feeling connected across the veil. So this is definitely a journey of evolution, and our guides get to shine more through us as we shine our inner light that everybody's talking about today.
I love this. There's so people can find your app on just on the Apple Store or
That's
where
right. Or Google Play. Absolutely. Awakened Way. It's free. And the
Awakened Way.
gratitude journal is phenomenal. It's not just gratitude, it's little prompts for how did you give kindness today, et cetera. Little incentives for coming back and doing those, making those entries every day. Come, yeah, it's awesome.
I love that something is simple. We talk about dreams as a bridge to this space, this mediumship space, but also gratitude. That
Oh,
this is low-hanging fruit. We can all
gratitude
do
is the
this.
quickest way to bring your field into a state of, that's called coherence. When your field has no static and noise in it, now your loved ones can get through to you. That's why they come to you in your dreams. No static, no noise.
I love it.
And you once said, didn't you, Kelly, gratitude is returning to yourself, which is your
Yes.
theme, didn't you? Yeah.
Yes.
It reminds you of your own wisdom.
No, because it's, I mean, it, and for my birthday every year, I have like a word that I always want to find a word that I can hold on to as a theme for the year, and it's gratitude. Reconnaissance is the word for gratitude in French, and it means basically to come back to consciousness. In other words, when we're not grateful, we're not conscious. So there's more to unpack there, which
More.
is very interesting.
And while we're on the subject of more to unpack, this show has done it again with a synchronicity, not just with Phil and Suzanne sharing the same birthday, because here in the UK, we're going to witness a unique and spectacular miracle of nature, a rare solar eclipse. And to match that, we have another unique and spectacular special guest to inspire us to shine bright and connect to our own inner light or divinity. We are absolutely thrilled and honored on UK Health Radio to welcome none other than Mr. Greg Braden.
Oh my heavens. Greg Braden is a five-time New York Times best-selling author, scientist, and pioneer of the emerging paradigm linking science, social policy, and human potential. His research has resulted in 15 films, 12 award-winning books, and publications in over 40 languages. He was nominated in 2020 for the prestigious Templeton Prize, established by Sir John Templeton, to recognize living individuals who have harnessed the power of science to explore the deepest questions of the universe and humanity's place and purpose in it. He's presented his findings in more than 34 countries on six continents and has been invited to speak at the United Nations, Fortune 500 companies, and the US military. He's got that in common with Suzanne Giesman. Greg is a member of the scientific and visionary organizations, including the American Association for the Advancement of Science, that's AAAS, Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research, the Galileo Society, HeartMath's Global Coherence Initiative, the Arlington Institute, as well as an early signatory to the 2017 Fuji Declaration, the international call to collectively catalyze a timely change in the course of human history. And his exploration of inner divinity goes even deeper in his audiobook, The Lost Gospels of Inner Divinity. Highly recommend it, where he examines ancient teachings suggesting that the divine isn't something we need to find outside ourselves. Hello,
Well
it's
done,
already within
Kelly.
us.
And would you believe it? That is a shortened bio. I mean, I think we should just read Greg's bio, and that will inspire us all to to be more than we could be. And Greg, you're coming to the UK very soon. You'll be appearing at the Conference for Consciousness and Human Evolution in London from the 21st to the 23rd of August, followed by your special one-day workshop on Monday, the 24th of August. So exciting.
Oh, my goodness. I want to fly over and attend. So all of us, so Amy and Suzanne, maybe we'll all come together. So let's start right away. Greg, let's dive in. What are you hoping people will experience or take away from this conference you're going to be speaking at? And perhaps more importantly, what do you hope they will discover about themselves?
Well, first, I'm just going to say good afternoon to everyone. And I'm honored to be with everyone I'm seeing on my screen and that I'm listening to. And I just learned a lot about myself from my bio. I haven't read that for a while. So thank you.
It's impressive.
I am going to be at TCCHE. They have invited me to do an extended keynote and a post-conference workshop on Monday, a full day. I'm excited to share this new information. And I think the bottom line, we live our lives based upon the way we've been taught to think about ourselves. We choose our friendships, our most intimate relationships, the people that we invite into our lives and people we invite into our bed. I mean, it gets that deep. Our politics, the way we heal our bodies. When we think about it, it's all based upon the way we've been taught to think about ourselves. And we call that our story. And our story comes from our family, primarily. It comes from our culture, our society. It comes from the false assumptions of obsolete science that is being taught in our universities and to our young people today. It comes from outmoded ideas of religion. And the reason this is important is because new technology is now allowing us to read records that were left in two different places. 5,000-year-old cuneiform texts from ancient Sumeria, 1,600-year-old parchments that were discovered in the Egyptian desert in 1945. And in both cases, there are records that were believed to be unreadable because they were so worn and deteriorated through natural processes. New technology has just now allowed us, new scanning and spectrographic technology allows us to read those texts, and they're telling us that we are not what we've been told. We're so much more than we've been led to believe. We have capabilities, we have potentials, and the limits that we've been indoctrinated to accept in the past simply are not true. So in the time I'm going to have at TCCHE, we're going to dive right into that. I'm going to share with you what those cuneiform texts are telling us, not only about ourselves, but about the world around us. You know, a lot of people I talk to all over the world, the world looks pretty crazy right now. And I think most people will agree to that because it appears that things are happening for no apparent reason. According to these texts, we are in a process that is such a large process, it's hard to see it until you step back. Now, I'm trained as a geophysicist. I'm a geologist by degree. So I'm accustomed to looking at large spans of time. We are in a process. It has a beginning. It has an end. And everything we're seeing unfolding in the world, all the craziness is all related and supporting a process that's actually driving us to the deepest healing that we will ever know in our lifetimes and perhaps the greatest awakening. So in a nutshell, I'm going to dive into all of that. On the two-hour keynote, we're going to look at the cuneiform text, and on the full day, we're going to dive into those ancient parchments and not only discover new ways of thinking, but techniques of how we can apply those ways of thinking in our everyday lives. And I think that's what people are really looking for.
And if you're listening, UK listeners, and you think that sounds extraordinary, compelling, I want to be there. What's the best place for people to go and book a place? And if they can't attend in person, where is the best place to follow you? Will there be a catch-up afterwards or something like
well,
that?
Well, this conference, it's TCCHE, and a lot of people don't know what that means. It's the Conference on Consciousness and Human Evolution. Mm. And I love that because it ticks all the boxes for me. That gives me a broad brushstroke umbrella under which I can cover all of this content. I don't have the sign-up information because I'm only one of many speakers. So I don't know. However, if people go to my website, gregbraden.com, and it's Greg with two G's, GregBraden.com, under events, they can click a link and it will tell them everything they need to know. I'm going to go to my website. I'm going to click my link so I know where to go when I leave here in a couple of days to come to London. I'm excited. I have not been in London since 2023. And I'm really excited. You know, so many people have a message, and it's an important message. And the message, it's the same message that they'll share for 20 or 30 years. And I think that's important, and that's consistent. What, for me, what's exciting is that we live in a world of living information. This is a living body of information, and new information is always being revealed. And my passion is to bring the latest, the deepest truths, the greatest discoveries to our global community so that we can make healthy choices for ourselves and our families. And I think we all know we're going through a shift. These ancient texts actually call it a reset. We're going through a global reset. We're going to go through it, and it's going to cover every facet of our lives. The question is, how do we go through it in a healthy way? And I think that's where the information of the past has direct bearing on our everyday lives. And I'm thrilled to share it. Absolutely. And honored to be able to come and do that.
Well, thank you, Greg, with three G's. I love that. but thank you for the much needed inner healing work you do. Goodness, we need it. But if we really have an inner divinity and far greater potential than we currently recognize, why have we spent so much of human history creating systems, beliefs, and even technologies now that can disconnect us from that very
The answer to that question goes back to the first sentence that I said. We live our lives based upon the way we think, the way we have been conditioned to think of ourselves, the way we've been indoctrinated to think of ourselves. And there has been a conscious and intentional movement since at least 1600 years ago to diminish our potential, to diminish the capabilities that we have. Because when we awaken to the deep truth of who we are much less vulnerable and much less susceptible to the ideas and the agendas of other people who have ideas and agendas of power and control. When an individual embraces the deep truth, divinity is very closely linked to human sovereignty and freedom. And when we embrace the deep truth of our sovereignty, of our freedom, of the potential within us, we think for ourselves, and that can be threatening to a power structure that prefers that they think for us. So it's not about, I want to be clear about this, it's not about making anyone wrong. We are on a journey, and our past has been a stepping stone to bring us to where we are now. Maybe we needed to go through cycles of power and control to come to the deep truth of what it means to be sovereign and free, what it means to awaken the divinity that lives within us rather than search for it outside of ourselves. By the way, we use the word divinity. It means different things to different people. And let me just give examples. Expressions of everyday divinity are things like human imagination, creativity, innovation, empathy, sympathy, compassion, forgiveness, love, healing. So these are all, and others, they're all expressions of human divinity. So rather than think of divinity as something peripheral in our lives, we can see that it's actually foundational. These are the things that underlie every moment of every day of our lives. And as we love without fear and imagine without fear and share ideas with one another, and you know, there's so much suffering in the world, we're becoming desensitized to that suffering. And it's an invitation to not lose our ability for human empathy. It's one of the things that sets us apart from all other forms of life. We're going to talk about this in the program. And the reason it does is because we were given, and I'm going to use that word intentionally, we were given the biological imperative. We were given DNA that cannot occur under natural circumstances. The science is clear. The mutations, the fusions in our genome cannot happen under natural processes. Scientists now are saying, and this is where they stop, they're saying that there has been some kind of an intelligent intervention in our past. And then they have to stop there because they're not equipped to go beyond that. And I think it's a fair statement as a scientist. The question is, what do we do with the gift of that intervention that allows us to imagine in the way that no other form of life can, and create and love and have empathy and compassion and forgiveness? So this is where it comes right down from these seemingly esoteric traditions and ancient texts a long time ago, right down to the nanosecond of our lives, because you can't separate our lives today from what happened 5,000 years ago. It's part of a process, and we are in that process right now.
Greg, every time I'm in your space, you just blow my mind. So I feel it's such an expansive kind of a thing. And I'm thinking about the movie. Teresa and I are movie buffs. We really love them. There's a movie, Shawshank Redemption, Morgan Freeman. And the whole idea, for at least my takeaway, is we're in prison. We're used to it. It becomes normal. And then we're freed. And then where do we go? What do we do? And most of us would rather go back in, because it's a few episodes ago, we had Daryl Anka on the show. We were talking about disclosure. We're in this time of kind of revealing everything. And the threat is this ontological shock. Like, if we are more than what we think we are, that's good news, but bad news, because it's disorienting. So what's something that we can do to be gentle with ourselves, or not, to be able to be graceful-ish as we evolve?
I think it goes back to that first sentence. We live our lives based on the way we think of ourselves. If we don't understand that we are part of a process, it's not separate from us, and that that process has a beginning, it has an end, it's part of a natural rhythm and a natural cycle that Earth goes through, I can tell you as a geologist, every 12,500 years, to the best of my knowledge, we've never gone through it with 8 billion ish people living on the planet. Excuse me. I think we all know that the systems that we've come to rely upon are unsustainable systems. They're breaking down because they're unsustainable. They're buckling and collapsing under the weight of their own unsustainability or insustainability. So when we begin to think like that, then we see, rather than clinging to the ideas of systems that no longer exist in a world that no longer exists. So many people I talk to all over the world are saying, we're just waiting for things to get back to normal. And I say, well, what is back to normal? And they say, you know, 2017, 2018. We cannot go back to the world, because that world no longer exists. The beautiful thing is there's a new world emerging, but it's not quite here yet, because we're building it. It's being built. It's being built on the way we think of ourselves. And if people need something to juice them up in the morning, just think about this. How often do you get to build a new world? How often? How often do you come into a lifetime where you get to build a new world? It's not here yet. But we have to awaken to the truth of who we are and claim and preserve that truth, because there are competing agendas for what this emerging world looks like. And there is an agenda that would prefer that we not awaken to the deepest expression of our humanness. This is the movement to replace our biology with technology, computer chips in the brain, chemicals in the blood, AI for cognitive and creative abilities. So, you know, the science and the tech is never right, wrong, good, or bad. I learned this when I worked in the corporations. It's the thinking underlying that technology. Mm-hmm. Most technology that's developed is developed for a beautiful reasons. So like computer chips in the brain were originally developed for men and women that dedicate their lives to military service, come home missing arms and legs. And what a beautiful thing if a computer chip in the brain can speak to a new prosthetic that allows them to hold their own baby in their arms and feed themselves and brush their own teeth. I think we'd all agree that's a beautiful thing. And that was the original intent. Now, that intent excuse me, has shifted. And the proposal is that everybody needs computer chips in their brain by the year 2030. This is actually a proposal on the table for newborns. And of course, when we hear things like that, our gut says no, because we know inherently, we know that there's something wrong with that. We know that it is diminishing and invading something very sacred and is a gift of the human body that is described eloquently in the texts that are now being made available to us, because the technology is unlocking the mystery of what those texts are telling us. And that's where the continuity comes from, where the past and the present are part of a continuous process. We can't separate those. And when it's made clear, I think when the facts are clear, our choices become obvious. And we tend to make good choices when we have all the information that we need. That's my, excuse me.
Greg, I'm going to jump in here because I know your time is precious and your team has told me you've only got a few precious minutes. And there are three people here who I know are so followers of your work and would love to ask you a question, because Kelly and I feel very selfish hogging your time. The first one is our first special guest today, the medium Suzanne Giesemann, and then our resident clinical psychologist, Dr. Amy Robbins, and then our resident cosmic compass, Alexandra Wenman. So if you could just, the three of them, I'll start with you, Suzanne, and then move to Amy and then to Al before Greg has to leave. I know you've only got a few minutes with us. So,
well, I have till the top of the hour. Suzanne, you and I have never met personally. I'm honored and happy to see you here. And it'll be a lightning round. I will have short answers to your questions. So thank you.
Suzanne. Well,
I don't really have a question, Greg. Just it's my honor as well, because we've been orbiting the same groups. But I just wanted to share that what you remind me when you're sharing there about we base our reality on what we've been taught is that I tell people it's time to question your BS, which is your belief system. And when you do that, it leads to the piece that, you know, what do you do when the world gets you down? You realize this is not the only world. And as I listen to you speaking there, you're speaking about the scientific world, the world we can measure. But what do these texts tell you about a greater reality beyond this physical world?
Well, they go back to the perennial questions of human life. Who are we? Where do we come from? What's the purpose of life, and what do we do to make life better? And they provide context is what's missing, Suzanne. We're looking at things popping off, pyramids in Giza and DNA and channeling and the Galactic Federation. And it's all these disconnected things. There's a context that's missing. And it's missing because it's been written out of our history. And now that this new technology is bringing us to light, we cannot unsee what we're being shown. Now we have to make a choice. We either discount it, we blow it off and say it's not true, or we rearrange our lives to accommodate what this history is telling us about our past. A lot of it goes right to the human heart, the technology of the human heart. We're so much more than we've been led to believe. So I think that's the value of taking a step back and looking at the big picture for context.
Well, I appreciate your work, because people have to be willing to look through the telescope to see what's out there, right? And so you're getting people to actually examine what's been here all along.
Hopefully. And you as well. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the love you bring to this world.
Dr. Amy Robbins.
Hi, Greg. So nice to meet you. I have a really
Hello, Amy. It's a pleasure to meet you as well. Thank you.
What's your favorite color? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'll tell you my favorite color.
I was going to make it really short and sweet, but that's not actually my question.
Okay.
But you can I'll tell you anyway.
The color is black, because black is the union of all the other colors put together. If you mix all the colors in a paint jar altogether, you're going to get black, but it's also the absence of all of those other colors. It is the essence of what exists before we impose our thinking and our ideas onto anything. So it's a beautiful palette of opportunity.
I love that. That was not glad I asked it, but it packs
well and travels well. So
exactly, and looks great as a background.
Well, thanks.
No, my actual question is, do you think it was science that moved us away from our inner divinity? And does it, will it have to be science that brings us back? Or do you think we can find our way back in another way?
We are conditioned, and as a scientist coming from the academic world and then moving into the corporate world and then moving into the world of the defense industry, I've seen this. We have been conditioned to compartmentalize our world into boxes. So we've got a geology box and a biology box and a physics box and an economy box and a healing box.
Psychology those boxes, box.
Yeah, those boxes don't exist in the real world. And the greatest, I think the hardest thing for me and one of the things I'm most proud of in my own life is I learned to cross the traditional boundaries that have separated those boxes in the past. In doing so, I lost credibility in my academic, with my academic peers, and that's fine. I'm okay with that because I think it's more important to be honest, truthful, factual, and to bring the information to the people rather than wait 50 years. We don't have 50 years. We got to figure this stuff out now. So science was used, science wasn't the problem. It was used as a vehicle to separate us. And it also can be the vehicle that brings us back together if science will keep itself honest and if science will do what it's designed to do, and that is to be constantly updated when new discoveries come to light rather than trying to fit the new discoveries into pre-existing ideas.
Mm-hmm. And the first is Greg Braden. We're now going to ask our cosmic compass, Al.
Hi, Greg. Thank you so much for all that information. And I work as a channel and an alchemist, and I work with an incredible group of beings called the Interdimensional Elohim and also the Higher Galactic Councils of Light. And they've brought me some healing systems that I know to be high technology, in which we don't need any so-called technology. But what they seem to be saying is that we are being given back the reins of our sovereignty and our divinity, and it's two sides to every coin. And in order to learn our own capabilities, we need to be given both the negative and the positive sides of it to help us almost accelerate our evolution. Can I just hear your take on all of that? I don't know if that's something you...
Yeah, you know, and you can't make this stuff up. The Dead Sea Scrolls... In the very first cave that was discovered and the first vase that was discovered in that cave and the first scroll that was pulled out of that vase addresses what you're saying right now. And it says that we'll see some rough waters. We're going to go through some rough times as we close this cycle in our lifetimes. This isn't like 50 years down the road. This is within our lifetimes. 3 to 5 years is what they're looking at for the reset. They say very clearly that we have an abundance of help available to us. They call it the equivalent of divine help, but there's a catch.
We are here as well. You know, it's their work through us, I think.
Well, this is the catch. The only way that we get that help is the only way that we can receive that divine intervention is if we accept our own divinity. We have to meet them halfway. We have to step up rather than sitting back and waiting to be saved and bailed out of a natural rhythm and a cycle that we haven't seen in our lifetimes. We have to accept the deep truth. And I use that word intentionally. It is a deep truth of our own power and our own divinity. And those are all the things that I mentioned: imagination, creativity, innovation, sharing ideas, love, empathy, sympathy, compassion, forgiveness, intuition, healing. All of these are expressions of human divinity. We step up to that.
We're our own guinea pigs, aren't we? You know, I've really felt it firsthand myself, and everything that you've just said really, really confirms that.
Well, I think we're doing the best we can. I'm actually amazed we're doing as well as we are, given the circumstances and the limitations within which we are operating. And all of that is changing right now. It's all up for grabs. And for some people, it can be frightening. And for others, it can be very healing. And I think the better we know ourselves, the less we fear change in our world and the less we fear our own power. And that's the key.
And on that empowered, feel the force within you note, Greg Braden, thank you from our hearts joining us, because I do know that you have so many appointments today. And if you've been listening with bated breath thinking, I need to explore some more of this for myself, get tickets to Greg's events, read his books, follow him, and stay with us too, because we have a little bit more to explore on the other side of this next break.
Yes. Because
thank you all.
Yeah, thank you so much, Greg. See you on the other side, both literally and physically and in dreams. Thank you.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And what a wild and wonderful inner divinity adventure we've had today, Kelly. We just got a couple of minutes to wrap this up, but from the Force in Star Wars to Jung's mysterious house, from consciousness surviving death to dreams as a tool to help you connect to your own inner divinity. Kelly.
Our dreams are always reminding us that there is room, there's more room for us than what we see in our day-to-day lives. There are rooms within us that we haven't explored, doors we haven't opened, treasures we haven't yet discovered, and our inner divinity is simply recognizing that some of the wisdom, love, healing we've been searching for has been within us the whole time. And your dreams, that one way of interpreting dreams is that they're always bringing us to that. They're lighting the way. Listen to their divine wisdom, even if they come in strange packaging, because it's calling you through every night.
I know. And thank you so much, medium Suzanne Giesman and our wonderful guest presenters team. Until next week, keep curious and keep finding heaven within you. Remember, dreams are free, therapy isn't. On waking, write your dreams down and brainstorm the meaning. Who knows what divine connections might form? And the crazier the dream, the more profound the meaning. That's why I work with Kelly.
It's so true. That's why I work with you too, Teresa. Wishing everyone sublime dreams. And Teresa, I'm keeping the Dream Diva scoreboard and I am edging ahead and I'm so excited.
In your dreams, Kelly.
Okay, absolutely. And I've hidden it in the collar of my dream house, in the cellar of my dream house, all along with our show theme song. Take it away, Johan. Thank you, everybody. Mwah.